Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the show. Vassos is here.
Hello.
And Rachel's here.
Greetings.
Rachel's here post your escape room experience, which was the official original escape room, the Crystal Maze.
The Crystal Maze experience, where we had all of the fun and all of the adrenaline and, oh, not quite all of the crystals, but we did our best.
Because you run Taskmaster, not you, but your family, your husband is the founding father of Taskmaster. If Taskmaster was to meet Crystal Maze back on Channel 4, because they're both Channel 4 shows, how might that happen?
So I reckon what they should do is they should get all of this. You know, they've done like the Taskmaster Champions of Champions.
Yes,
so every five series, they've put the five winners against each other. So far now, they've had at least three Champions of Champions. So I think if they did the Champions of Champions of Champions at some point, but they should do it in the Crystal Maze.
I agree.
Thanks.
And did Alex go for the Champion of Champions because of, not Blockbusters? Countdown.
I don't know. He's a big Countdown fan.
I always get the two confused because I love them so much. I don't know why I get them confused.
Well, you know,
I think I've watched more of those game shows / quiz shows than any other. I must have watched over 1,000 episodes of Countdown.
Wow.
And probably the same, I would imagine.
Did you ever apply to be a contestant, like not a celebrity contestant? But
no,
like
because
I can't
do the maths. I love the letters, but I just can't do the maths.
Yeah.
I love the conundrum. I love the letters, but I can't do the maths. Alex won.
Alex did it as a just like a normal contestant.
A normie.
Yeah, just after uni, and I think he won three episodes. The first episode you win, you get the Countdown teapot, which his mum snaffled. The second episode you get like two massive dictionaries. And the third one you get like a little Countdown clock, which sadly doesn't play that jingle, but looks quite convincing.
Not good, is it?
But the second hand goes round like that sort of, you know, perpetual motion the way it does on the telly.
Yeah, because in the board game you do get the clock, and I'm not sure actually if it does make the noise or not.
Yeah, I mean, this was about 20 years ago when he won it. Maybe they didn't have the technology.
This is the last 10 seconds of the 30-second clock because we're pushed for time here. We've got a busy show on
our
hands.
This is as stressful as the Crystal Maze music. My adrenaline is on an absolute high this morning.
Apparently, if you go to the Crystal Maze experience, you get the Crystal Maze theme tune all the way.
Yeah.
And it's really
panic-inducing. And then they're like, come on, we need to go to the future zone. Run, run, don't stay behind her. It's an automatic lock-in.
Be really good as a new host.
Yeah, you've got to climb down a ladder, like a proper sort of two-story ladder, one at a time, and then you go down a massive slide into the Aztec zone,
nice.
Into
that's
the
fun.
Sand pit. It's so good.
I mean, if you're going to go to the Aztec zone, why not slide in?
Yeah.
I mean, you would. So, what about the last 10 seconds of the Crystal Maze theme, as it builds to a tumult through its crescendo, combined with the last 10 seconds of the Countdown timer? Here we go. Countdown wins from a timer point of view.
From my emotional point of view, I am on the floor.
Unless you get the board game or win the darn clock on the show and then you don't get the theme tune. Crazy, 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 crazy. Hi, Chris and the gang. My mum is 19 June. She was born in 1933. What generation does that make her? Rich in Cambridge. That makes her 1933. That makes her part of the silent generation, but we don't know why. Baby boomers, 46 to 64. Gen X, that's some of us here. 65 to 1980, that's myself and Vassos and Rachel at least. Gen Y, 1981 to 1996, that's Marvellous Mira. And it's also Aussie Jane. And then you have your Gen Zs who are so young, we don't really want to talk about them. And that's Felix and Tequila, Tilly, and also Noah.
And all three of my children.
No, not all three of your children.
Yeah.
How come?
2009, 2010, 2012.
Okay, fair enough. They all just about sneak into Gen Z. Didn't know that. Good work, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. Busy time.
We'll leave that there. Right. The best biscuit to dunk. Jaffa cakes. One thing the British take very seriously is tea and bickies. So the result, of a new study may enlighten or enrage you depending on how you define biscuit, because the number one has come out on top as the Jaffa cake.
This is so wrong on so many levels. I read this morning. It's in the mail this morning.
I'm glad you two are going there because I'm too scared.
No. Because here we go. First of all, forget the is a Jaffa cake a biscuit, which it isn't, and also not
genuine
very nice.
Genuine VAT question
but
at one point.
Here's the thing. So the dunks before breaking Jaffa cake 116. That's not the best. That's just too many. I mean, you've got to go down to Rich Tea Ginger Nut Digestive. Those are your classic dunkers. Those are the bottom of the list. Rich Tea 22 dunks before breaking. That's about right. I think that's about right. So actually, the best biscuit to dunk Rich Tea 22, then Ginger Nut and Digestive if you like it to crumble a bit earlier, but Jaffa Cake and then Bourbon Shortbread Hobnob. These aren't dunking biscuits. These are biscuits to have on the side if you want with your cup of tea. But you don't dunk shortbread, and you definitely don't dunk a Jaffa Cake. This made me cross.
Yeah, we can tell. It's crossed I've ever seen
wow,
you.
Wow, it's really passionate about sauce.
Yeah.
Well, we just sent out some Jaffa Cakes. Can we not do that anymore? Because he might explode. Stop. Yeah, you know, we need to cancel the Jaffa Cake trip. Absolutely 100%. I like Jaffa Cakes dunked in cold milk. Because I think because they're more cakey, it's a better dunk for the Jaffa cake. I actually like all my bickies. I love dunking bickies in tea, but I prefer to dunk them in ice cold milk. I really, really like what it does. I don't know what it does to them, but it does something to them. It makes the biscuit soggier, and it makes the chocolate colder. So sort of they almost try to go their separate ways, and you get the resultant drama of that in your mouth.
I quite like the reverse think of dunking in something cold.
Yeah, no, I like that.
I don't like dunking.
You don't like dunking?
No, I'm not a fan.
All right, OK, well, we'll leave that there then. And we'll just get on to Euro Millions tonight. £99 million
Yay!
If you're
Imagine
interested.
All the biscuits you can buy.
Weeds are rebranded as hero plants at this year's Chelsea Flower Show, and they should know these guys, the RHS. These plants, once the hallmark of a badly tended garden, are now to be prized as the Royal Horticultural Society begins a move to rebrand weeds as resilient plants. We should get someone to talk about this. I think this is really interesting. In a development that will delight the less committed. That's not the upside of this story. You still have to tend your garden. Tash laid this beautiful bed of what are now blossoming tulips that you can see from the bridge in our garden. It's just a bed of tulips. It's a rectangular bed of about 100 tulips. She's colour coordinated them. Of course she has. They look like a firework display.
Wow.
And she's got other ones coming through a bit later to take over.
Brilliant.
She's the best.
Love
isn't she?
Tulips.
Anyway, they often say, don't they, a weed's just a flower in the wrong place. Some weeds aren't. They're just weeds, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sunday Crunch Celebs charged, £75 to use a dressing room on the Channel 4 show. I don't know if this practice has been adopted this morning, but I'll find out later.
So what, you've got to pay for a dressing room?
On Sunday brunch, yeah. But we're going on this morning. Actually, we're going on this morning this afternoon.
Oh.
At midday.
Okay.
Just after midday. And they've offered me a parking space. So that's good. And I asked yesterday, I asked Lucy, the producer, is it all right if I have a shower? Because I'm going to look like I'm just about ready to go to bed because we get up at stupid o'clock. She said, yeah, we can have a shower. I don't know if she's going to charge me for the shower or the park. I don't, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll have that breaking news for you tomorrow.
Yeah, great.
Might be like in an airport where you can use the lounge. You can pay to use the lounge. You don't have to be business class. You can pay to use the lounge. It's like £20 a person, isn't it? About maybe it's the same as this morning.
Aren't there some companies now, some airline companies, where you know you can pay extra for a seat? Because that's where we're going, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, back in the day, the internal Russian flights,
yes.
When they didn't have to sort of adhere to international
safety standards,
at the back of the plane, it was like in a tube. You could just stand up and hold a strap.
It wasn't just in Russia, because we booked an Aeroflot flight to Bulgaria, because we used to go skiing in Plovdiv in Bulgaria. Or Pamparava, I can't remember, one of the two, maybe both, I can't remember. And you could literally just, it was first on, you know, back of the bus kind of thing. At Heathrow.
What?
Honestly, it was.
Really?
Yeah, it was cool. And the sick bags were like a design classic. They were like something from the sort of Cold War, because they still had that sort of 60s cool design on them.
Did you take some?
Yeah, you know, I took one.
Yeah.
You know, but it was an interesting experience within our lifetime.
Yeah.
Double denim, no one blends it like Beckham. So often they double up colour-wise and clothes-wise and fabric-wise. They've done it a couple of times. They are looking gorgeous in purple a few years ago, and then they both... Oh, that was back in 1999. They look great together in purple, don't they? Yeah. I love purple. Yeah. Purple. Well, who doesn't like purple or violet, you know, or lavender? It was all over the marathon, wasn't it? And it's Cinch's colour, signature colour. And actually, the Beckham... You know, Avril from Cinch, she wants to have a word with the Beckhams about that look. You know, can she re-borrow that from 1999 for 2023? And here they are together in leather, Gucci leather, same year. 24 years ago, that is now. Almost a quarter of a century. Because yesterday they double-denimed. They double-denimed individually and they double-denimed as a couple.
Quadruple denim.
So I suppose they did quadruple denim. Quite like
and
it.
And very good headline. Blend it like Beckham.
Very good. Yeah, good. Congratulations.
Well done, strong.
All right, excellent. So many more stories here today to talk about, but we are running out of time. 3 p.m. phone alert arrived at 2 a.m. The emergency phone alert system caused more chaos yesterday when it went off again in the early hours.
No. I still haven't had my alert.
No. Talk about triggering.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and also imagine if, you know, your alert is set to the countdown timer and it goes off at 2 a.m. in the morning. The world is ending!
No, I can only see four. That's not even a four, it's a three. I've got cat.
But if it's set to the Crystal Mears theme tune, then you would wake up in such a good mood. Oh, where do I need to go? I need to get a crystal!
Really?
Through the lasers, up and over, down the slide, solve the riddle.
I think she's auditioning for the next series.
Get the sand and the weighing thing and angle it down.
She's like Davina McCall meets Annika Rice. She's all over this one.
I would get a special bomber jacket.
What happens to the people who are... Did anyone fail to get a crystal?
They're never seen
still
again.
No, we didn't have any automatic lock-ins. But there were occasions when we were literally all screaming at one of our friends to get out of the one where she had to guess the emoji riddles. Get out in 4 seconds, left! And we all lost our minds.
Rachel, you do this far too well. I've got to be honest. Uh-oh, what's next? What could possibly happen here? The rest of the show. So here we are, day two, morning two, after the marathon the Sunday before, the London marathon the Sunday before. Chris, are you going to bang on about the marathon all week? No. Till at least the end of May.
Yeah, no, all year, yeah. Pretty much.
Definitely all this side of summer, without question.
Have we got that thing where... I think it was a Twitter or Instagram thing, how to get the marathon into everyday conversations when it's wearing off later in the week.
David and East Sussex, I just want to say a big thank you to you and the team for inspiring me to run the marathon on Sunday. I wanted to be under 6 hours, but thanks, 290 days to go, I managed to beat 5 hours. Like you, I am now eating like a horse. Laney from York says, huge congrats on running the marathon to you and the team and everybody else, the other 48,000. 2 years ago, I had an AC ligament operation and haven't done much exercise since, but your energy and motivation have inspired me to enter the ballot for next year's race. Don't suppose you fancy an extra minion for next year? Oh yeah, bring on the minions.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
All be
literally.
Made to run as minions.
Yes,
you know they have an official charity every year. I think it's Great Ormond Street for the next 3 years, isn't it? But they should have definitely an official fancy dress kind of thing as well, where you have to pay 100 quid to run as a minion.
Fantastic.
I don't know what Pixar would say. Is it Pixar? Is Pixar the minion people? I'm not quite sure. Lynn in Kent says, I used to put a Mars bar in the fridge and then when it was cold, cut it into slices to eat with cold milk. That's what I'm saying. Aline devises, my daughter says Jaffa cakes are biscuits as they're with the biscuits in the shop. I'm a rich tea finger dunker myself. Sarah in Pontefract, bite both ends off a penguin biscuit, then dunk your penguin in your cup of tea and use it as a straw just for a second or two. Then put the whole thing in your mouth at once and all the chocolate is sticky and melted and maize balls. Yeah, because there's a sort of tea vacuum in there. You can do that with milk. It's the same thing and it will have the same effect, but a sort of more glacial experience. Mark Wogan's been on. A couple of things from Mark. Yesterday we talked about olives because Sinead doesn't like olives. And then we received some advice from listeners saying that if you don't like olives, you're only 7 olives away from liking them. Apparently, you line 7 up in a row, you eat one at a time, and by the 7th, you like them.
This is so good. If that works, that's fantastic.
Well, somebody said it, and then loads of people texted in saying, yep, we've done that, that's how we got to like olives. Why do you have to get to like olives? It's okay not to like them.
Yeah.
Well, I feel I need to like olives, because I'm Greek and I don't really.
You're not Greek, and that's yet more proof.
Okay, but I'm going to do the olive thing.
Yes?
I am going to do the olive thing, and I'm going to see if I like them. Olive. By the end of the week.
My favourite thing about Olives is it's an anagram of I loves. Or Olive is I love. That's what I like about it. Or LVO.
I like them stuffed with garlic and jalapenos.
Okay, excellent. Mark also says Jaffa's a cake, not a biscuit, and he's a super chef and he should know.
We'll take that.
All right. Anything else going on today? Anything else we need to talk about in particular? The Gen Z, the Gen X, the Gen Y thing has reared its confusing head once again this morning. Yorkshire named number one UK staycation spot. Belgian town organises seagull imitation championship. This is our second human seagull story because yesterday didn't an event or an organisation or an event location.
Yes, so it was somebody dressed up as a very bad sort of...
I liked it.
Fancy dress as an eagle to try and scare off, was it pigeons?
I think so. Not
from
quite sure.
From a vineyard?
Yeah, we have the seagulls. We have the seagulls. I don't necessarily have the story. What else would work over this? French Museum invites exhibitionist visitors to go naked for art show. That work? No.
No.
You heard about my itching, Rachel?
Yes. What do you think it is?
Well, I know what it is, because Dr. Rosie Jane has diagnosed me.
Oh, well done, Dr. Rosie Jane.
It's urticaria, is what it is. And it's after strenuous exercise, like running or hiking in warm and or hot, wet weather. And we had all the weather. We didn't have all the rain. That was yesterday. We had all the weather, though, on Sunday. So I got itchy calves.
Yeah.
But I'm not suffering from any of the other symptoms. However, I am hungrier now than ever after any 48 hours on than after any other marathon subsequently, or previously, rather.
Are you feeding the hunger?
I'm feeding some of the hunger. But Mira's saying she knows what we mean because Vassos is hungry as well. You know, I mean, Vassos might eat me if I sit still for long enough and vice versa. And Mira said, I know what you mean. She says, I feel exactly the same. She's been hungry ever since she watched us run the marathon on Sunday. She probably overtrained.
Yeah.
Or she probably didn't taper enough.
That's probably the issue.
Yeah. So she knows how we feel. Hungry. Not quite hungry, but hungry. On the way on the show tomorrow, broadcaster and superwoman Melanie Sykes will be leafing through all the learnings of her new book, Illuminated Autism and All the Things I've Left Unsaid. That's out on Thursday. Can't wait to see Mel tomorrow. Jason Sudeikis is going to be on the show. Actual Ted Lasso on the show on Friday.
Wow.
None of us can quite believe it. Ted Lasso, the most beautiful show on TV. It's my favourite show on TV, including Succession at the moment. I'm trying to catch up, so I've watched all episodes available and the first two series before Jason gets here, Ted Lasso himself, on Friday morning. If you've never seen Ted Lasso, you've got to jump on the bus. It's funny. It's endearing. I cry and I laugh in equal measures every single episode. Noah said last night, for Ted Lasso, see Ned Flanders in The Simpsons. He looks like him. He sounds like him. He's got goodness, you know, streaming through his veins. I thought, yeah, that's, you know, have they... For Ted, see Ned. Has that ever been asked, that question? Is it out there? I wonder if it is.
Guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall there. It said, be curious, not judgmental. And I like that. So I get back in my car, and I'm driving to work. And all of a sudden, it hits me. All them fellas used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out, and so they judged everything, and they judged everyone. And I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it.
Watching Ted Lasso shows that you don't need to know about the thing to know about and be able to help the people doing the thing, because he doesn't know anything about football, does he? Go on.
We just caught up with the last bit of the Amsterdam episode last night.
Right.
And I can't say anything, but it almost as if he thinks he's taken psilocybin, right? And he has this Damascus football coach moment.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, he doesn't ruin really much, okay? He thinks...
Oh, no, don't. If it's funny, don't.
No, it's not the whole point of the episode. It's just a moment in the episode.
No, don't tell us, because I don't want to know anything about the episode.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, fine.
Do you want to buddy up with him for another psilocybin trip?
Yep.
You can talk to him about that. I'm excited for you now even more than I'm excited for us that you're going to meet Ted Lasso. Do you think Tottenham would like Ted Lasso at the moment?
Didn't he coach Tottenham for a Children in Need thing? I think he did. But to be honest,
wish he was still there. What's going on with Tottenham?
Well, I mean, what is going on with Tottenham? So they put they sacked their coach Antonio Conte about four games ago, so about, I don't know, a month ago.
Yes. But they, I mean, it couldn't be any worse, they thought.
Yeah. And then they put his assistant in charge. Who proceeded to, I mean, on Sunday, Tottenham, I mean, it kind of got lost in the FA Cup semi-finals and the marathon, but on Sunday, Spurs went to Newcastle. Mm.
Oh, I didn't get lost. That was very loud television in our house. Oh, my word!
They were 5-0 down.
20 minutes?
In 20 minutes.
I didn't know that.
They were 5-0 down.
I knew it was bad.
In 20 minutes.
Is that a new record for the Premiership?
Actually, it's the second. Manchester City once scored 5-18 against Watford, but it's the second quickest 5-0.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Harry Kane managed a goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, the only one he did.
But he must be, not concerned, but, you know, he must be bearing in mind the fact that, because he wants to leave. I mean, I suppose he doesn't mind how much a club has to pay for him because that doesn't reflect on his future wages. But it's not doing him any favours, this.
Well, he did score a goal. 6-1 was the final score.
Harry.
So Christian Stellini, who was Antonio Conte's number two and was appointed quite weirdly until the end of the season, he's now been sacked. So the manager that all the fans want,
yes,
their old manager, Maurizio Pochettino, he's about to join Chelsea.
Oh, dear.
And so Ryan Mason, who's 31 years old and who was in temporary charge a couple of years ago, is back in temporary charge.
But they have a wonderful stadium.
Really lovely stadium.
It's a really fantastic, futuristic stadium.
And the training ground, second to none.
Second to none. Excellent. Well, that's okay then. I think they should go for Ted Lasso. Jason's in. We can have a word with him. You know, I mean, you know, if he, because he knows the Ted Lasso character so well, just do a couple of weeks as Ted at Tottenham.
Yeah.
He's done that. He knows the way. He's been there before for the Comer Relief thing or whatever it was, like you're saying. We have got to watch. For our homework, we have to watch the whole of Ted Lasso before Friday. That's what we have. You know, that's mandatory for our job. So all this week, sorry, watching Ted Lasso. Not another. No, it's for work. Mm. It's for work. I have to watch it. Yeah. In the past, we have had to go to the Olympics for 17 days for this job.
Yeah.
Haven't we? I mean, that wasn't easy, was it, Vassos? But somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
We did it, Vassos.
We stepped
we
up
did it
on
and we
your
survived
behalf,
it. Thank
everyone.
You.
Yeah, we also... We once went to Monaco for you.
Rachel, you remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that was really tough because it's like the hotel was
Monaco.
Surrounded by the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know?
And the swimming pool was surrounded by us.
Yeah, and drinks.
And then the Goodwood Revival, we had to go there for work.
I had to get my hair done.
Oh,
I had to have a victory roll.
I had to go to the bar the night before just to make sure the team were all right.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do. And then we had to go to Glastonbury. We had to go to Glastonbury loads.
Do you know what? Why don't people need to start thinking about us a bit more when they do collections?
Anyway, we're very grateful for our job and we can't wait for Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis on the show Friday. Well, the Chelsea Flower Show have been in touch with this show. They said, would you like anybody to speak about weeds? And the story in today's paper is about the fact that we now need to love them, respect them, honour them, appreciate them and leave them where they are. Yes, we do. All right, lovely text in. You're texting in about everything we've talked about, which is lovely because it means it all caught light with you. Itchy calves. Hello, Chris. I have an itchy calf after the marathon, but I'm fairly certain it's mosquito bites. Have you tried an antihistamine? Says SJ and Twickenham. I quite like it. I quite like the itch.
It's quite satisfying.
It is satisfying. It's interesting in bed, isn't it? Because you know, if you go to bed with a part of you that's itchy, you'll give it its itchy window and then you'll say to yourself, right, that's enough now, I need to sleep. And it sort of works. It's like when you ask ants to leave your house. The other thing you were talking about the other day, when you just request of nature that it ceases to do this for just a while because I need a break, I need a time out, and nature says, okay, fair enough, you ask politely. It's like us requesting to be around, you know, on the other side of this, the sixth mass extinction, which I've been hearing about. Rich Rowley's on the show next week. Mm-hmm. Rich Rowley, who you know I love.
Yeah.
You know, he's a friend of mine now. I've been to his house in California. He's the first person I really got into listening to in the podcast world. I love Rich. I really absolutely adore him. His podcast is amazing, the Rich Roll podcast. I haven't talked about it for a while. I used to talk about it every day. The latest episode might be my favourite episode. You know, maybe it's preferential thinking because he's on next week. But Zach Bush is one of my favourite guests. He's also been on more times than anyone else. He's been on Rich's podcast 5 times. And Rich is on, I think he's on episode 750-something now. And Zach Bush is this genius. And he talks about, on this particular podcast, how we need to be if we want to be part of nature's next incarnation. Because there have been 5 proven mass extinctions. And the last one was 55 million years ago, and it was the meteorite. And he's saying now, Zach is suggesting that if you look at all the data, all the analysis, we are the meteorite. So, you know, they talk about, you know, a third world war, and they talk about climate change, you know, and they talk about natural disasters, and they talk about, you know, our spaceship colliding with other spaceships. Our spaceship is planet Earth, which is exciting every day if you think about that when you wake up. You know, we're on a spaceship and we're traveling at 67,000 miles an hour every minute of every day. Woohoo! I mean, to be honest, we're way ahead of SpaceX. He needs to bear that in mind. Yeah. he's trying to outdo what we all do every morning. Isn't he?
Yeah.
It's so interesting that. And Zach says that if we want to be part of the future, we need to request of Mother Nature, can we overstay our welcome, and can we apologise, and can we make amends for all the issues that we've caused? Because we are the meteorite. This is his theory. But within this particular podcast, he talks, and it's a very, you know, he says, you know, I'm a Pollyannish character. I'm a very upbeat character. But to be upbeat and realistically optimistic, you have to face the facts, and you have to dive into the facts, and you have to get curious about the facts, which might give you a possibility of coming up with a solution. But amongst all this, he talks about, you know, how various organisms on the planet communicate with each other. Now, he talks about the fact, honestly, it's 2.5 hours. I can't believe Rich is on next week. I'm so happy. I'm going to say, Rich, between you and I, Zach's episode last week, that was the best one ever. And by the way, it's a very, very high bar. He's only ever a 9 out of 10 at his lowest. It's usually 10 out of 10, Rich's podcast, excuse me. And he talks about the fact that one of the ways we communicate is, you know, through the, I think is it the mycelial network, which is mushrooms and underground.
Oh, yeah, all the roots.
Trees talking to each other, and or grass talking to each other, and the earth talking to itself all the time. And he says that begins when if you don't underestimate the mushroom, because you know what the mushroom eat? You know what their treat is, their special treat?
No.
Oak trees. Mushrooms eat oak trees. That's what they eat. And if you don't believe me, listen to Zach.
Soil, it turns out, has an enormous amount of the metabolites or breakdown products from bacteria and fungi that are the result of them digesting macronutrients. So you can imagine, like, you know, a tree falls in the forest and all the microbiome, fungi, everything move in and to digest that down into soil. While it goes from oak tree down to digested, composted soil, there's a lot of eating going on. Mm-hmm. And in all of that eating, the bacteria are making side products that we call metabolites that turn out to be the communication network of the ecosystem.
They're having the mother of all banquets. Mm. Okay. Another oak tree over here, please. Thank you. But you're so small. Don't worry. It's not a problem. We've done this for millions of years. We've got this. Blackpool Zoo recruiting human seagull deterrents. It's our second human seagull story in as many days. The zoo is trying to recruit a team of people to wear bird costumes, not beard costumes, and scare away nuisance seagulls. That's in Blackpool. In Belgium, they're doing something else. They want you to dress up as seagulls for other reasons. Fancy a seagull costume for next year's marathon, Vassos?
I wouldn't mind, but I just don't think that's quite as joyful as a minion.
Yeah. I miss the man who bounces the basketballs.
Did you know that the first ever fancy dress runner in the London Marathon was Belgian, and he ran it as a waiter with a tray and a glass of water and a full bottle of water all the way around? I think that's quite punchy for the first
that
ever fancy dress.
It's more fancy than dress. Mm. It's more as, you know, it's a fancy stunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose if you were a seagull, the human seagull, the wings would get in the way. You know, I think that costumes that have a wingspan, whether the wings or something else, are not very helpful in the marathon. But longitudinal costumes, multiple fancy dress. Often you get people in rowing boats, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, or trains or things like that. They're all right because they're like runners and they're like a row of runners anyway, running in the same direction. But what you don't want is a sort of horizontal.
Because you take out the whole road.
The askance aspect of things. You're a bit big as a minion, but you're just on the right side of wrong.
People don't seem to mind. When you turn left, you've got to be aware that you cannot see. You've got absolutely, obviously zero peripheral vision.
Yeah.
So it's likely that people are going to try and quickly sort of nip in. So you have to sort of take the corners with quite wide arcs.
Yeah, and you're restricted anyway because of your vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even what it's even more of a concern for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, so it does have two little eye holes,
yes.
But I'm only obviously because I only have one working eye looking out of one of the little eye holes. But it's quite far in front of your eye, so you don't have very much
anyway.
Vision at all. But no, it's all fun. Do you remember the Big Ben?
And you can sign up for this fun right now at tcslondonmarathon.com because the ballot is open until 9 o'clock on Friday.
The clip that's been doing the rounds in the last couple of days was from a couple of years ago. The Big Ben who comes down the mall, finishes the marathon, and then can't get underneath the finishing.
I think it was this
arch.
Year as well.
Was there another Big Ben this year?
I think it was this year, yeah, as well. I think that may have been from this year. I don't know if it's the same Big Ben, but how big do you want your Ben? I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Other troublesome costumes this year?
I mean, the rhinos, obviously.
They're not troublesome.
It's just difficult.
There's a couple of guys with fridges this year. I mean, that can't be easy, can it?
There is a marathon record whilst carrying a household appliance.
Mira saw a Domino's garlic and herb dip running. For a while.
That must have been sponsored.
I saw a couple of helicopters. Many Spider-Men. Seriously, Spider-Man, give it up, man.
Hmm.
It's like the film, isn't it? There were just too many.
Yeah. Yes, the Spider-Verse.
It's the Spider-Verse. Visiting the London Marathon. Do join. I dare you to sign up. Not for 4, 5, 6 hours of running on April 2024, in just under a year from now, but for 17 weeks of having, you know, a course with yourself, meeting yourself for a 17-week training program, finding a whole new aspect of yourself, finding out that, you know, well-being is no small step, but made up of many of those small steps. Why don't you sign up for it? Off you go. Dare you. You probably won't get in. And you can say, well, I signed up for the London Marathon. I didn't get in, but I signed up for it. That kind of thing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of our favourite stories today, we're going to get on to next. Weeds are rebranded as hero plants at this year's Chelsea Flower Show. For centuries, horticulturists have endured lumbago and gardener's knee to rid their patch of dandelions and old man's beard. These plants, once the hallmark of a badly tended garden, are now to be prized as the Royal Horticultural Society begins a move to rebrand weeds as resilient plants. And we need somebody on the show to talk about it from the RHS. So we've got this lady. One of the most impressive titles that we have ever been blessed with talking to on the show. She is Garden Manager, Edibles, Education, Seed and Wellbeing at RHS Garden Wisley. And she's Sheila Das. And she's on the line now. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Tell us about this breaking news.
Absolutely. It's really exciting. I think we're all on a bit of a journey now trying to reinterpret our relationship with the planet, aren't we? And part of that is weeds. They're not, we've branded them as our enemies, but they're not. Plants are absolutely our friends and to be embraced. And they have a lot more uses and can be enjoyed in wider ways than we previously appreciated.
So give us some tips then, some non-weeding tips, some embracing the weeds.
Embracing the weeds.
Yeah.
So, for a start, we've given a label of weed to all of these plants. So you mentioned a dandelion, for example. That doesn't mean that we have to ban dandelions. So dandelions are particularly cheerful at this time of year for us. So they have these lovely yellow flowers. They're great for insects, for early pollinators. So they provide a really good source of nectar for insects that are around at this time of year. And particularly interesting, they're also edible. So we can eat them. The flowers are really sweet. You can make a jam, a cake, fritters, anything.
So when is it still okay to weed? Because, you know, weeds grow where nature intends them to. So how dare we ban any ever?
Yeah, absolutely. A weed is a plant in the right place. We've right. often said it's a plant in the wrong place. It's not. It's a plant where we haven't wanted it to be before. And that's where fundamentally we haven't wanted it to be. So any plant will move in to a natural space and it will do what that space requires. So whatever's going on in your soil, and this is really important, what's going on under the ground, plants will respond to that. So they'll grow in harmony with whatever's happening in the soil in terms of its nutrients or its biology. So they're perfectly adapted to create a perfectly balanced system as nature intended.
Because, you know, obviously, you know, we were talking before about this wonderful guy, his name's Zach Bush, and he's talking about the sixth mass extinction, you know, what happened 55 million years ago with the meteorite and the dinosaurs and the nuclear winter. He's saying we may well be the next meteorite, the human race, that is. And, you know, when we use pesticides, lawns are an issue, aren't they? Because we're not supposed to have lawns, really, are we? That was a French thing.
Yeah, but I think, so, you know, we're looking at loving our lawns a bit better. And actually, maybe again, it's just about reimagining what a lawn is. Nobody says that a lawn just has to be one species of grass.
Yeah.
It can be a grass mixed in with flowers. You know, grass isn't the enemy either. Short grass isn't the enemy. The main message is to have a diversity of habitats in our gardens. So long grasses, flowers for pollinators. Short grass areas are really good for birds that want to burrow around for insects, but just always having a mixture is the main thing.
Do you know, that's exactly what he said. You know, whether it's our microbiome, what we put on our plate or what we have in our garden or the people we experience in life, it's all about diversity. That's what nature intended. He also says that just before the last mass extinction 55 million years ago, nature, she was up to her most sophisticated. She was growing furs and ferns, and then she came back stronger and better and more sophisticated than ever, which she always does and always will do because there's no stopping her. And she came back with her new invention, deciduous forests. And so she will always sort of rain more down when and as required when we try to neutralize or take over one of her spaces with one thing.
Absolutely. And for me, that's certainly my journey in the last few years as I've come to understand more about the complexity of everything, is that it's just, it's very beautiful. So our kind of reimagining of what that aesthetic beauty really means, you know, when you know what's going on behind something, it just feels more beautiful. It's more rounded. And interesting that you mention our kind of our gut microbiome, which is all in the news at the moment. You know, the analogy between that and what's going on under our feet with soil is huge. They're very, very similar. They work in the same way. So
yeah, no,
diversity.
We were talking about mushrooms eating oak trees for Christmas because that's what they do. And then they communicate that message to the rest of the planet. And that's the, is it the mycelial network?
Absolutely, it's incredible.
Do you know that in 2008, Sheila, you probably know this anyway, but in 2008, when people started talking about the microbiome, certain aspects of the scientific fraternity pronounced it as bunkum. So as recently as 2008, people still were having none of the microbiome, but now we know it's the key to everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that will be the case, particularly with soil and weeds, as we start to explore our relationship with them. It's about us putting ourselves in context of this wider process as well. So I'm really excited. It feels like we're having loads of exciting conversations at the moment. And actually also, I think it helps us to relax. I think in your introduction, you talked a little bit about the back pain from bending down and weeding. And, you know, there's been so much pressure on us as gardeners to keep things immaculate and clean. But actually, that's not how nature works. If we can relax with that, our well-being stands to benefit from this as well.
If anything is too hard, nothing wrong with things being hard, but if anything is too hard, it usually means it's not right.
Yeah,
Just absolutely. Generally in life. Chelsea Flower Show, Monday 22nd to Saturday the 27th of May. Tickets at rhs.org.uk. Yeah, if you're lucky. I think you sell out quicker than Glastonbury does. Anyway, before you go, because of your amazing title, Sheila, Garden Manager, Edibles, Education, Seed and Wellbeing at RHS Garden Wisdom. My kids never believe me, right? When I say that if you take a translucent leaf from a beech hedge around now, before it waxes up, it's completely edible and you can have a lovely beech leaf salad. Please tell them that I'm not yanking their chain.
I've definitely heard of that with lime leaves, Chris. So go for lime leaves.
Oh,
but you're right. When they're really translucent, they're really tasty. So I've actually got a lime at home that I'm going to experiment with that this year.
Oh, what's your favourite thing in the garden? I mean, that's like asking me what my favourite song is or my favourite car. There's not really an answer, but can you come up with one just because?
Well, I am a massive grower of edibles. I absolutely love growing cabbages. I just love growing cabbages and kale. I don't know. And onions. But anyway, I'll stop because there's loads of things.
No, don't stop. Can I? Because I've tried cabbages and they get a bit leggy sometimes, my cabbages. What am I doing wrong?
It depends. There's so many different varieties of cabbages. So if you have a look at which one you're choosing, there'll be some that are better suited to winter, some that are better suited to summer. So it might just be that you need to just pick the variety that's right. But cabbages are a great kind of overwintering crop as well. If you sow some a little bit later in the year, they'll sit over winter and bring you right through into the spring.
Can you field any questions to do with gardening? I bet you can, can't you, Sheila?
No, absolutely
well,
not.
Well, I'm sorry. We have a question for the lady at the back. I think her name is Rachel Horn. She's to present news round. She's now our news hound. Rachel.
Good morning, Sheila. Hi.
Good morning.
Sheila, I have got a very of-the-moment question. Okay. Daffodils. Where do I deadhead them when they finally sort of shrivel up? Do I leave them like that for a week or so? Do I immediately pull them off at the flower? Do I do it below the bulb? Do I do it all the way down to the stalk? What do I do so that it comes back next year, please?
Yep. So if you want your daffs to flower well next year, you want them to push all of their energy back down into their bulb. So if they keep the flower head on, then what they're doing is they're going to try and make seed. So it is right to nick that off if you're able to and you have time, depending on how many you've got. Literally just pinch the flower top off. Again, not too fussy. Don't need to spend loads of time doing it. Maybe a little just flex at the knees so you don't hurt your back. Nick the flower off and you're done.
Leave the little bulby bit there.
Yes.
Okay, good. And just one more, please. I also have some tulips and they're going a bit sort of feral. There's loads of leaves. There seems to be like a misproportion ratio between leaves and tulips. Should I cut some of the leaves back down or is that going to damage the plant?
I would be inclined not to, generally as a rule of thumb. So your plant is using its leaves to photosynthesize. And again, all of that material is pushing energy back into the bulb. There'll be a reason why they're really leafy. And again, that's to do with soil, perhaps, and just nature trying to balance itself a little bit. So, it's not a bad thing for them to have plenty of leaves.
And when the tulips die, what do I do with them?
Same again as with your daffs. So you want to take the heads off. If they're in the ground and they're going to return next year, nick the heads off so that they're putting all their energy into the bulbs for next year.
Thank you, Sheila.
If they're in a pot,
yeah,
same
Sheila,
again.
Don't go. I've got one for you now. we all want wildflowers. We'd love to spread some wildflower seeds for them to take, but they usually don't. What are we doing wrong? What could we do better?
So again, it's a bit like with the cabbages, Chris. So there are different flowers that will do well at different times of the year. So really the key is if you want to sow a wildflower mix is to have a look at the mix that you're getting. And there'll be some advice with that says either scatter your seeds in the autumn or potentially in the spring, and different species will be suited to different things. So a little bit of research and you should be fine.
Okay.
But the main thing is give it a go. If it doesn't work, either try something different or give it a go again, and everything changes all of the time. So as nature changes, things, your circumstance may ameliorate for that particular mix that you're using.
Is that a low flying light aircraft I can hear, or a massive bee? Do you have massive bees at RHS Wisley?
Hopefully we have a big variety of bees, and again I'm going to come back to diversity. So what we're trying to do is to encourage a huge variety of bees. We've actually included as our part of our gardening activity as a kind of bee watch. We're looking at bees, butterflies and all sorts of other things in the garden. So observe what's in your garden and have a look at whether you've got a nice healthy diverse ecosystem. So solitary bees are really, really important. People know a lot about honeybees, but actually they can be quite aggressive and dominating. So little habitat habitats for solitary bees really important. I'm sure we do have very healthy, happy bees here. It's idyllic at Wisley.
Yeah, if I was a gardener and I ever wrote a book, it would be called From Hay to Bee. Please do that, just for my benefit. Vassos has a question.
Sheila, given the reason we've got you on, the headline this morning, weeds are rebranded as hero plants at this year's Chelsea Flower Show. Is weed killer spray always bad?
I am going to say yes, Chris. I think we've reached a point now where we have to just move away from chemical interventions and even sometimes what's branded as organic intervention. So as we were talking about before, nature wants to provide a balance, and as soon as you start upsetting that, things just don't work. They, in fact, dysfunction. So I think it's the time now for us to move away entirely from weed killers, from pesticides, even from artificial chemical feeds and all of those things, and just to try and work more in harmony with nature.
You have to. It's the way forward. You've got to play the long game. Mark in Cardiff, please, can you ask Sheila what to do about bindweed?
To love it.
It's hard to love sometimes. Yeah.
It's a challenge. So I think bindweed is something that, because it very, very deeply roots in the soil, I tell you, a really good thing to do with bindweed is pull the top off and put it in your compost, because it's rooting very deeply and mining a lot of nutrients from the soil. Again, without chemical use, it is a case of persistence. And, you know, I'm very much an advocate of not disturbing soil, but where you sometimes have to dig things out persistently, if it's really swamping your borders, and that's a real problem, have a go at clearing it, but then kind of accept that you will have a little bit of it going forward. And just keep pulling the top off. And I like to think of it as weakening its will. But use it as compost fodder. You know, put the top of your bindweed in the compost.
Mark Wogan's just been on. Son of Terry, thank heavens for you lot. Perfect for rush hour traffic. I now want to garden more. What about that, Sheila? Perfect, eh?
Amazing. And I think the other thing is don't feel pressure with gardening. Do as little or as much as you want to. And sometimes people don't even start because they think it's too big. But even if it's a pot outside your back door or on your balcony or on your doorstep, that's really valuable. It will give you a lot of pleasure. If you put something edible in it, it will give you even more pleasure, and it will make your gut microbiome happy as well. So just do what you can, I think. But achievable things. It's really exciting.
And gardening has been proven. The data is in. The stats are out there to help you live longer and happier.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hoping for a long and fruitful life.
I'll tell you what, you could stay on this station till 6 p.m. answering the questions we're getting now. Thanks. Sheila, thanks for joining us. Have a great Chelsea Flower Show. Thank you for your input this morning.
Amazing.
And give our love to everybody in the gardening world.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thanks for talking to us today.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for talking to us today. How great was she? Thank goodness we made that phone call.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.